Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to my good bad brain. I'm a normal person, so I'm insane. I've got depression and ADHD, but I'm doing better since I medicated me. I'm still not always sure whether I exist or what being a person even really is, but I figured out a long time ago that being alive is beautiful.
Hello. Hello. Brain breather time. I'm just going to turn that AC down or off in my room. This is a very ASMR, this is a very living episode. I mean, I guess this microphone gets a lot of exclusion. That's when a microphone is good as excluding sound that you don't want it to pick up. But I'm sure you can hear a lot of this environmental sound because I'm walking around, hanging out. I got pain patches on my neck. Turn the AC off just for the sound because it's cool. It's getting sort of fall vibes are finally arriving as we leave summer of 2018. I mean, it's not done yet, but aren't we? I'm pumped for fall, baby. Autumn. I've been really busy. Obviously, this episode's coming a little late. I've had a project which has been amazing. I'm very grateful for it. It's a creative endeavor. I don't think talk about a ton just yet, but I'm writing, wrote some stuff and then wound up that I'm the director of it too, which is fucking cool, man. I love creating. I love being on sets more than anything. I truly believe, like, I in a world that is arbitrarily cruel and dark, and you start to realize the older you get that there are no good guys and bad guys. That's not really true. There are good people and bad people, but there's mostly just power and fear and the arbitrary flow of those two things between each other. And everything starts to feel like a big gross lie of people just getting away with what they get away with. And anybody who tries to be a good person or holds themselves to some kind of standard, you feel like a sucker. Anyway, in a world that feels like that all the time, all too often, creating like movie stuff, doesn't matter if it's TV, sketches, movies, little short films, fucking whatever. Honestly, content on the YouTubes even, like this short form stuff. Like the idea that you and a bunch of other people get together in one room and you make believe and you take pictures of it. And you record the audio, and then you assemble all of that, all for the intention of creating something that some stranger somewhere will experience, and it will make them feel thrilled about being a person. They will feel the wonder of laughter or scary, fun, spookiness or adventurous, like action or just enchantment of the possibility of like a legend of a myth around the corner. Maybe they learn something about themselves. Maybe it gives them a new idea. It just that thing, that make-believe wonderful thing, that I think is that's church, man. That's the most God thing you can do. And if I had a call sheet every day the rest of my life for a set somewhere that I could show up to and work, I would be fucking thrilled. It just, It's a good thing in the universe, trying to make things, to make this arbitrary existence that much more beautiful. So I'm really grateful to be doing it, but it definitely takes a lot of effort. And sometimes I'm surprised myself at how I'm getting it done. And I honestly credit a lot of it to this work, like this podcast and this paying attention to like my mental health and actually fucking creating strategies and structures and trying to stick to them to be a better person. And as I was thinking about that, and like, what I'm going to talk about today is something called dish soaping, which is conscious self-sabotage, which means I got to talk a little about unconscious self-sabotage probably. And they kind of go close hand in hand. And along with that, I'm going to come around to something I found out about from the internet, a concept called zero days that there's like a comment on Reddit or something that really stuck with me. And so here we go. Dish soaping and zero days. In the context of having such a kind of good experience, a fucking great experience, honestly, creating these last few months from concept to writing to now filming this project, and fucking honestly being proud of myself for showing up as much as I am, I've been paying attention to the ways in which I'm falling away. So like, if you've been with me, you know, like the months before that, I was working on some like lifting programs, really paying attention to my eating and recording all that and stuff like that, and a lot of that has totally gone away, and I've been feeling kind of bad like in the last week or so, as we started getting a crunch time production, like my exercise really went away. I kind of also got hurt at jiu-jitsu, which fucking bums me out and has made it like really this neck bullshit, whatever. Physical injuries, I mean, that's a topic for another day, but more vessel stuff and the weirdness I get when I get ill. I think all of us do when your body starts to break down or leave you from illness or injury or something like that. And just, God damn it. Let's just be grateful for our health and try to maintain that and run and jump and climb trees for as much as long as we can, stretch and live in our bodies, because good fucking God, man, when it starts to go away, it's a bummer. But I'm digressing. What else is new? It's that my good, bad pinball brain, baby. As I've been doing this stuff, I started to realize like I started to do bad stuff. Like, my exercise goes away and I start eating lots of sugar, just fucking want that sugar. And I have a theory about it now, actually, that the endorphin rush that one gets from exercising and stuff, the like thrill, the high your body gets from like, this feels so fucking good, I think you start to try to recreate it with just like foods that like spike your insulin and things and like feel like that same kind of endorphin-y thrill. So you just start eating like sweets, and like that's the irony of like, okay, well, I don't have the healthy version to get this. Well, what's the unhealthy? I just need to fucking get a little pop of ecstasy. How about just eat more sugar? And like stress adds to that. And then like the whole, I know how the whole like chemical mechanism of sugar works now, like it makes you want more of it, and then my whole body starts getting inflamed, and it's just like everything gets worse. The neck pinchy stuff gets worse, the nerve pain gets worse, like everything's just getting worse. And I know that if I was exercising and paying attention, I was eating and doing my best practices, sleeping the way I am, which is also gets more difficult because of the stress and anxiety of wanting to do a good job on this thing that's important to me, keeps you awake at night, and you know, you got your anxiety brain. So you start like self-sabotaging to a certain degree. And I was like, this really came to a head when I was going to leave set to take a red eye to go to a wedding for a single day. And I ended up like, I missed the plane because I would have had to leave set early to get on the plane. I just couldn't do that, obviously. And then I was going to fly back another red eye. It was just going to be really horrible. My fucking thumb and hand, like, it was kind of numb, like, when I sit down for too long. So I would have been in this horrible plane ride and all these things. And I just missed the flight. I couldn't do it. I ended up. And I was planning to do it. But my girlfriend was like, I think you might be trying to self-sabotage. You know, there's gonna be other production work to do. You're like shooting this thing. It's like a really big opportunity. It's really important to you. It seems like maybe you're trying to fucking find a way out of it for some reason so that you can like maybe complain for the next year about how you don't get breaks and you don't get opportunities and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of harsh, but also kind of like true, you know? And like, I really wasn't listening. And sometimes I think I need somebody to say something really real for me to hear it. And I was like, damn, wait a minute. So you're saying, person who knows me really well, sees me all the time, that it seems like maybe I have a narrative that I live out over and over again that I kind of repeat, which is like, shit just fucking doesn't work out. Shit's totally fucking arbitrary, blah, 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 blah. But also, I spent a lot of the time being like in my professional circles, even like in love with the image of myself as like this mess, like this sort of like Peter O'Toole-esque genius where I would just like drink all the time. And if anything was available, I'll ever like to drink open bars at events, being like, yes, please, you know, and like being funny about it and kind of like lecherous and kind of like everybody's an option, flirty with everybody. Because I was like, I'm an actor, I'm creative, this is who I am, I'm self-destructive. Yeah, fucking, I ride a motorcycle, fucking, that's me. And you're telling me you think maybe I'm making choices that make me seem unreliable, or like as soon as I start to do a good job on something, I figure out a way to be like, nah, like how about I'm already tired and barely getting through this thing, and like, but doing a fine job, I think I'm proud of myself, I would say that I'm showing up for it, I'm writing the shot lists, I'm doing all the things that like maybe you think my 36-hour jaunt to Chicago for two red eyes in a row right before shooting again seems like I'm figuring out a way to fuck this up a little bit. No. That's what dish soaping is. Not really. I'm hijacking dish soaping a little. Something my girlfriend also invented. Dish soaping is when it came from like she'd have food in the house that she didn't want to eat. She knew she would like feel bad if she ate it. And so she would just pour dish soap on it in this very intense, well, now you can't eat it. And I thought that was such a fucking great idea. Not necessarily to like be so like out of control of yourself, that, but that like this concept, this name for this thing, I'm out of control. And so I'm going to consciously sabotage something, which I think ends up being like both an act of inserting control into the situation to make yourself feel like, oh, I see, I can make this choice, this thing that's controlling me, and in it controlling me means I'm out of control, I can regain control by like fucking ruining it at least. And maybe I think this ties into stuff I was talking about with the death episode, where I was like, this thing that I can never grasp, like finality, choices, making choices, and being like, I want to be here in my life. I want to succeed. I want to pick a path and commit to it. I love this person, or I love this job, or I want to do this thing. I want to really show up and exist in the world. Instead of being this like nebulous ghost that could be anything and never really has to commit, like you never become anything, you know, like it means, I mean, part of it is just a fucking dumb Wayne Gretzky thing. Like miss every shot you don't take. It's like you can't fucking fail if you don't try. But like, how terrifying is it to try and to fucking find out you suck ass? Like, how much does that fucking sound real too? Like, how horrifying. You're told your whole life you have such potential. You could do anything you set your mind to. You can do anything. You can do anything. Yeah, so you get used to the idea. Yeah, I could do anything. Yeah, I'd be fucking great at that. Have you ever done it? No, but I know I'd be great at it. Man, it's like people, that whole thing about like that stupid, I mean, that's not stupid, it's a fine quote for among whatever, this Teddy Roosevelt's a psycho, but the quote about like the man in the arena versus the critic in the crowd is really fucking true with art. I think art criticism has a great place in society, and criticism of everything. Criticism of how people parent if you don't have kids. Like, definitely do that. Do all of the things. But as soon as you try to create art yourself, you start to realize like how fucking hard it is. And it is fucking painful to grow up watching movies or whatever, and whatever it is. You can substitute this in for anything. Eating food and then you become a cook, or reading books and you become a writer, or, you know, fucking anything that's like takes effort, but seems like not just effort, but craft and attention and care, like, but seems like just a fun time. I mean, like, all entertainment is like figuring out ways not to show people the strings, so it looks like it's just like cool and fun. Like, this is like the Cosby actor thing this week, who like was bagging groceries at Trader Joe's. It's like most actors, it's like a blue collar fucking job. Like you're a laborer. You really like, I had the realization on set one day. The actors look like really like actors are always like diva. Do you feel like, oh, can we get you this? Can we get you that? Please, blah, blah. And it makes everybody think they're divas. And even actors sometimes feel that. The reason they treat you like that is so that you don't fucking stick your finger in an electrical socket. That was verbalized by, I forget her name, the actress. She's on the show Glow, and she wrote this really great op-ed about like the highs and lows, the insanity of being like an actor or whatever. But it's like a wonderful lesson for life. Like you, when you're treated really like a baby, like being treated like a baby and being treated like a god are like very, very closely aligned. And when you realize the reason you're getting treated like a god is because you're a helpless little baby Jesus. You can't do fucking anything for yourself. People are worried you're going to die on the set or break something. And the whole movie relies on you staying in the same general shape and appearance and mental state. So we're going to do everything we can to just preserve that until it's over. It's not because you're special. It's because you're like a crucial, delicate piece of equipment to making this thing work. Like that's like a very good understanding to come to realize like you have a place in the whole pie along with everybody else on the thing. You know what I mean? And you're no less or more important. You're no more of a diva when you need a time to work on your thing than the electrician who needs a few minutes to plug his shit in and be like, it's going to take me 10 minutes to set up these lights. All right? That's what it is. So you want me to fucking set up these lights? Then you're going to wait. Same thing. I need a minute. Fucking diva. Well, or... you know, it's 4 a.m. and I'm supposed to pretend a tennis ball is my dead mom. So what do you want me to do? We got to do the fucking shot one way or the other. Do you want it to be good or bad? We're all here to try to make this stupid fucking movie. You're not being a diva. You need a few minutes. Okay. Like, when you, like, realize you can have that space and I have that space. Anyway. Dish soaping. So I was like, fuck. Am I dish soaping this shit? Am I, like, purposefully pouring soap on this piece of cake so that I can't fucking eat it? I guess, like, some ways, dish soaping can be good. It's basically the attitude of the knife from Dune when he goes, you know, cutting off what's incomplete and saying now it's complete because it ends here. I loved that when I was a kid. A way to stop being like, well, what is it? Is it this or is it, I don't, maybe it's still an arm? Nah. That shit's crushed. Cut it off. No arm anymore. It's over. Like... yes, love that. Loved that when I was a kid. So dish soaping, that can be good, right? If you know it's bad for you, if you know like every time you eat fucking gluten and a pile of sugar in a plate, you feel horrible. Your stomach punishes you for days. Your body hurts. Your joints don't feel good. You get sadder. So don't fucking do it. Pour soap on it. Now you can't. But the other version of it is real too. What is that about us that's like... terrified to succeed? I did this one workshop once. It's called Constellations Work, which I think is like kind of controversial, but what is it? And it's this therapy thing that is predicated a lot on ideas of like family units, family lines that like go like basically passing down traumas, like genetic trauma, whatever, stuff like that. And that we do kind of everything out of love and honoring to some degree. And if your parents have some trauma that they never work out, like maybe, like for me, like my dad fell apart to a certain degree when I was in high school. And the idea is that like in order to honor that, if I don't face that and work that out, I can never do better than my dad. Like that's like a thing that if I don't face that trauma and work it out and process it, then I am doomed to never surpass the place he may have succeeded at. And I see that hardcore showing up in my life as I get more honest and with myself. Like, damn, you're really, like, there's some part of you that feels like you can't be better than the thing that you came from. And if you did, something about it would be sacrilegious. Something about it would be disrespectful. And something about it would be unloving. I think a lot of us have that with our parents, especially if they're young parents who didn't work out their own shit or had their own things, you know, maybe they had us for some of the wrong reasons or were trying to like fix their mistakes in themselves. I don't know, who knows? But I think a lot of us are like, don't want to be better than our parents because we feel like it would be rude or something. Like it would be disrespectful, like subconsciously. But, you know, even if they really set us up for success, there's still part of us that like doesn't, I don't know, like almost like it would be like beating up your dad or something. It'd be like getting in a fight with your dad and then beating him, and it would feel just shameful and fucked up. It would feel like there was something wrong in the universe, like this person who's always supposed to, like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to like be better than him? Why are you trying to show him up? Like, so I don't know. I've been thinking about that, the self-sabotage thing. And I was thinking about how, like, maybe it's just when I'm tired, my body just, like, stops functioning. I just wasn't getting things done, and I'd have some free time finally to rest and didn't do any exercise and didn't do anything that I know I'll feel better if I do it. I haven't been to jiu-jitsu in weeks, but, you know, partly because I'm, like, really weirded out by this nerve pain, and I don't want to, like, make it worse again. But partly because, I don't know, maybe I'm just overwhelmed, and I'm just not doing the things that I know make me feel good and would make my life better. And then you just get in this rut of it. And it's so strange to like constantly be in these conversations with yourself, this battle over time of like facing your same pattern and doing it again and doing it again. I do think a little better every time, overcoming a little better. Maybe we can all relate to that. But I know, I feel like this is even less focused than a typical brain breather, but I guess I'm tired. And I realized I was dish soaping, and I was like, fuck that. I don't want to fucking be dish soaping like dreams, the things that I love. I'm so good at taking love for granted, you know, or like ignoring it because I don't believe it'll be real, not trusting it and not treating it well because like, of course it's going to go away anyway. I might as well fucking dish soap this and be in control of it going away. I used to say that. You know, I had the very strong, not just like the idea, the belief, but like I knew it to be true that you stood on rugs, not despite, but like so that they could be pulled out from under you. I just felt that. I held that belief. And so now I just pull my own rugs out for myself. And so basically this culmination of this is like a big old fuck that. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Fuck that. Dude, I have a great rug in my room right now, and it literally came from my dad, and I fucking love it. This rug ain't going anywhere. It's just here to be under my feet and make my floorboards nicer. I love it. I love laying on it. I can't explain it. It's just a scratchy old oriental rug, but I fucking love it. It really ties the room together as the dude, you know. But I believe in the rugs, and I believe in my fucking feet to stand on them. I don't have to dish soap shit anymore unless I'm doing it consciously because I know that I'm not going to fucking, I don't want that thing. I want to cut it off and be done with it. I'm done with this. I'm fine. I'm moving on. Making a choice and going. But not like because I'm afraid of what love would be like, or I'm afraid of what success would be like, or I'm afraid of what, like, testing my potential and finding out, like, fuck, I'm not flawless. And I have to, like, learn how to tell stories better and edit better. And this takes a lot of work, actually. And, like, I have to take a fucking machete to my first drafts every time I write one. That I overwrite, like, overdo it for the budgets I have. Overdo it for the time I have. Overdo it for what any human being deserves to have to be forced to sit through for, like, my pedantic mess. I have to, like, machete through anything I write. And I'm not perfect. I don't find out until I try. Like, that's so scary. Now it feels like nothing. Now it's just like the same joke over and over again. It's like, write something that I fucking love. This is it. Next day, read it back and go like, oh, you fucking doofus. How about we like cut half these words out and then it might be something. But like, it's funny to like notice your fallibility when you try. And go, oh, there I go again, doing my thing. Well, now I can recognize I can actually do pretty good. I can like do better. So what, I mean, why are we dish soap? Why do we dish soap? Stop fucking dish soaping, unless you want to, because it's something that you should ruin, so you stop fucking being attracted to it, you know? Throw a firebomb in those fucking toxic relationships, you know? Throw a firebomb in the things that you know you'd use to hurt yourself. Dish soap that. But stop dish soaping things that you love. Stop dish soaping things that fulfill you. A lot of us know what we love. A lot of us really do. Like, we figured out when we were kids. I figured out when I was a kid. I literally said to my mom in seventh grade, I wanted to write or I wanted to act because I wanted to make people feel things. Because that's what they did for me. They made me feel things. My grandma Sue said one time, she said, like, She was this woman on the forefront of women in business, like in corporate America, like true second wave feminism, like the whole like gotta put your emotions away, gotta like do all the patriarchy toxic shit, dress like a man, act like a man, wear not too much makeup that you're like considered like too feminine, but enough makeup that you weren't like an offensive creature to men, like all the horrible shit, toughed it all out, fucking fucked shit up, you know what I mean? She's amazing. She's very inspiring to me. And she told me that like she had, you know, single mom, all this stuff, she had to like lock her feelings away for all that stuff, so she'd go to the movies and she could cry there. She'd go to the movies, watch movies, feel things, cry. I love that. I think about it all the time when I think about, like, if I ever needed something, like, I have little things here and there over time that are, like, that like, they sit with me, you know, and keep me going sometimes. Other than my own fucking gems, my own magical moments of seeing me come out of the voice of something else somewhere and being like, ah, fuck, I exist. We all exist. This is so great. We're all going through it, you know? Movies, man. Art is fucking so good. Anyway, so dish soaping, you know, do the things you love. You figured it out. You know what it is. You know what it is somewhere in you. You know what it is. You know what you want. You know. So stop fucking it up for yourself, you know? Whatever it is, it's like that simple. And obviously not, because we keep facing the same things. I keep doing the same things over and over, and like the same demon comes back. But you get a little bit better at it every time. You know a little bit more every time what it is. If you're trying, like, you get a little bit better at wrestling that demon. You learn a little bit as you humble yourself to it and go, yeah, this demon's tough for me. You start to learn your leverages. You start to learn, like, the moves that work. So work with your demon. And on that note, with the self-sabotaging and the dish soaping and the whatnot, I had this concept. This is going to be like my practical thing for today. 0 days. So if you realize that you're dish soaping, you know, or maybe you're not consciously dish soaping, you're just having like depressive things. I read this thing online that said no more 0 days. And a 0 day is just a day that passes, a full 24 hours or whatever, that like you didn't do anything to move towards goals that you have. And because we all have goals. If you don't have goals, grab some goals. But like, because they're fucking great. It's great to have something to like be moving towards. I have like too many, but whatever. You get a goal. You get to the end of the day, you haven't done anything to improve your situation in life, your lot in life. And I don't mean this economically. I don't mean like to succeed more, always grinding 24/7. I mean like just to take the plight of being a human, the challenges we all face every day, and try to move forward with your mental health, your physical health, your like existence, like manifesting the dreams that you want in the world. And again, I don't mean stupid fucking secret bullshit language of like manifesting. I mean like you got a story in your head that you want to write. You got a painting you want to paint. You got like a hike you want to go on. You know, you got a city you want to go see somewhere that's going to take some money saving to do, whatever. Like some fucking goal, you know. Do one thing before the day is over. If it's been a 0 day, a day where you did literally nothing to improve anything and maybe even made things worse, you get to the end of the day, it's 11:58 p.m., right? Do one thing. Do one push-up. You know? Do one push-up. Start a list. Write one thing you need to take care of to move towards that goal. You know? Something like that. Simple. Tiny things. And it's just a mental trick. You might have like a bunch of like 1 days in a row, but you never have a 0 day again for the rest of your life. That one thing, maybe, like who knows, maybe you're fucking really fucked up and like sick or whatever. That one thing might be like resting consciously and focusing on taking care of your body and thanking it for being alive. So like, and thanking it for trying and thanking it for healing. Like it might be that simple of just an act of gratitude to polish your soul a little bit. You know what I mean? To move yourself towards like being more conscious and like existing in a way that feels better about like your existence, no matter how bad it is. Like that's not a 0 day. Like that's a day where you've done something active, you know? So those are my two big thoughts for today, I guess, as I'm moving through these things. Two brain breathers in a row. I know two brain breathers. I mean, maybe this show will turn into more and more brain breathers. Who knows? I have like no problem just fucking sitting and talking sometimes. But this little quick bad boy, it's just for those thoughts. I have to sleep. I have to wake up so fucking early. Long day tomorrow. Long day for the rest of the week. Shooting this thing. I'm super pumped about it. Can't wait to share it with everybody. But for now, I can't. So please, wish me luck. I guess I could say it's related to Halloween. Halloween. So it won't be too long until anybody sees it. But I'm so pumped. It's so exciting to like get to live in Halloween. Like,
earlier than everybody else. Like, it's gonna be like 3 months of Halloween in my life, which is fucking awesome. Halloween's so good. The fall is so good, and it is the kickoff of the great holiday trilogy. I'm talking three in a row, best holidays of the year, right in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, baby, and New Year's, I guess. But New Year's is always like just a fucking little coda to, you know, it's a little epilogue to Christmas, and always disappointing. There's no one has ever had a good New Year's Eve in the history of time, like one that lived up to what you thought New Year's Eve could be. Some people are gonna be pedantic and say, oh yeah, I had a great, I love New Year's Eve, blah blah. You're wrong, I'm sorry, you're just making that up, and it's always disappointing. Unless, I'll tell you when it's not disappointing. I had one fucking great. The only New Year's Eve I remember being good, I wore literally like leggings. It was in a ski town. I was wearing like sweater, leggings, some big thick socks, drinking red wine. I think I played Monopoly with my siblings and it fucking ruled. Yeah, New Year's is dumb. But anyway, great holiday trilogy. Kicking off Halloween. I love the fall. It's been gloomy today. Ugh, the gloom is so good. It's getting cool again. Nothing as good as sleeping in a nice chill, you know? Nothing's as good as that. Anyway, this hyped me up, man. This is, I mean, I'm also very fucking tired, but this weirdly hyped me up just to talk about stuff. Stop dish soaping, unless it's, you know, attitude of the knife dish soaping. And no more 0 days, baby. No more 0 days. If you're listening to this, maybe it's 0 days. Pick one thing. Do a stretch. You know what I mean? Take a minute and stretch. Do a push-up. Do a little list making. Do a little just fucking inward gratitude shit. Maybe feel what your body's feeling. See where you got some tension. Work that out. And just be like, damn, it's cool to be in a body that can smell and taste and hear shit. And that's fucking really exciting. So glib. Yeah, that's really exciting. Alright, that's enough. Thank you for listening to My Good Bad Brain this week. I swear I'm back. I'm gonna have some really, I look forward to talking about this. I had the craziest, like, My Good Bad Brain synchronicity mental health thing happen. Like, the world is very full of dark matter and magic right now. We definitely live in a simulation. But we definitely live in a simulation, and whoever's playing me like bought a bunch of like DLC or something lately, so like more interesting shit would happen. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, cool podcasts. I'm getting tired. Cool episodes coming out. Fucking love being alive, you know, for all its pains and insanities and horrors. Oh my god, I can't even tell you. P.S. Changing my Twitter around, I changed my Twitter where, like, I don't follow anybody. I followed D20 because it's, like, me and my brother's a little company. And I follow Metamucil because it's the only thing on Twitter that was actually helping me in my real life. It's so much better not seeing just a fucking screed of hot takes. Not feeling like I have to fucking add a fucking screaming carrion feeder voice to all of it and be like, well, this is what I think. I'm on this camp. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'll talk to anybody if they want to talk about stuff. But, you know, it's a big fucking charade, man. So many horrible, like, we just turn such blind eyes to things. It's all like a PR thing of just, like, outrage and clickbait. And I don't know. We may have just, like, broken our fucking collective societal brain with the internet. But I don't know. Maybe not. I think on the whole, there's fewer atrocities, probably. On the whole, like, reprehensible behavior is more, like, held to account, I suppose. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good, baby. No more 0 days. And pay attention to your dish soaping. Let's not self-sabotage. Let's have, you know, everything that we fucking want, because you can. Damn, this turned into a real, like, typical-ass fucking rah-rah manifestation nonsense podcast today, didn't it? You can have everything you want. You just got to manifest it. You just got to take the time, think about it, and work towards it. That's all it is. No more 0 days. I mean, it's so easy. It's so easy to riff. It's so easy to joke about. It's just, like, fucking annoying how true so much dumb shit is. That's the funniest shit. The older you get, the more, like, dumb thing. You learned everything you needed to know in kindergarten, okay? Like, everything. About how to be a person. Everything. And all the most interesting, here's the thing. all the most interesting facts, like the things that make you seem smart to other people, you learn those before sixth grade. Talking about basic physics, talking about mythology, you know? Being able to talk to people about the River Styx, you know? And Charon, whatever, the ferryman. That's all fucking stuff you learn in elementary school. I learned how to grow hydroponic basil in third grade. It's like the fucking most interesting. And then and the rest of it's a waste. Quadratic equation. That's like the joke, right? Because I don't even know what the fuck it's for anymore. Wow, I'm tired. I'm rambling. All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a wonderful week. And I'll be back with some fresh content soon. I think I might be able to do a guest pod this weekend and have one for y'all next week. But we're getting back on it. We ain't getting back on it. Thank you for hanging out. See you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.